Good morning, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are. Welcome to House of Blind Gospel Blog Talk Radio for the Sunday School lesson for November the 8th, 2020, for the year 2020. November the 8th, Abiding in Love, John the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 17. On behalf of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 36471. Telephone number 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. On behalf of Reverend Waylon Oliver, our pastor, Sister Joyce Oliver, First Lady, and our clerk is Miss Lisa Starworth. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And like many parts of the America and in this country's Sunday school is being broadcast on the internet via us by Facebook and from the website of House of Blind Gospel Radio, located at 231 6th Avenue here in Beatrice, Alabama. Our worship services every second, fourth, and fifth Sunday at 11 a.m. And it is also being broadcast by our internet, by our musician, Brother Corey Robinson. And Sunday school, church service tomorrow is the second Sunday, and it's at 8:30 in the morning, God willing. And the weather holds, will be at the same place on the outside. But anyway, Sunday school is at, church service will be at 8:30. Lesson for today for November the 8th, we are continuing Unit 3, Godly Love Among Believers. We are at the second week of November. This series, the fall series of September, October, November, the quarter will be ending on the 29th. But anyway, let's get to our lesson for today. This will be lesson number 10, November the 8th. Devotional reading comes from Psalms 80, 80 standard verses 7 through 19. Background scripture comes from John the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 17. John the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 17. Our key verse for today: I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. John the 15th chapter and the 5th verse. Let us begin. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, No more can ye, except ye abide in me. That is saying that you as a Christian, you as a believer in Christ, to be upright, do what you need to do, to be Christ-like, to batter the sins and other aspects of human life here on earth, you need to abide in Jesus. You need to abide in God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Abide in God. Abide in Jesus. In other words, be in him. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, you can't bear the fruits of goodness or being decent and in order or being Christ-like or loving or whatever. You can't do those things without Christ being in you. You can't do it. You just can't do it. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. How clear can that be? As a Christian, how clear can that be? Let's move the Bible a little bit closer to me for further reference if I need to. Excuse the rattling of the sounds, and I'm going to be ruffling the pages here. I'm going to go to our lesson, so to speak, in the Bible. form. Stay with me. We are at John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. We hope that things have been going well for you, that you were praying and reaching out and calling and praying to God, so far as what has just transpired in the election. We hope you did go vote. Okay. John, the 15th chapter. A little bit of rush with our pages here. Just think about in the studio, when you turn them microphones on, they are very sensitive. And in fact, anything that goes on this end of the studio, you can pick it up with these microphones. Okay, we're there now. John, the 15th chapter. No, it was not it. John, the 15th chapter. The vine and the branches. Christ is a true vine. True. The contrast of three conditions of a fruitful life shown here. Cleansing. Abiding. Obedience. Those things come through by Jesus Christ, the true vine. I am the true vine. Christ is the true vine. All right, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withers, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, that they are burned. You are worthless. You are a branch. You notice when the storm comes along and all the branches and limbs on trees get blown away and broke. Sometimes the whole tree get blown down and are broken. But if you don't abide in Christ, when the storms come, you won't be able to stand. You won't make it because you don't have the real stuff in you. The real stuff comes from Jesus Christ, God Almighty, our Creator. The love, the caring, doing the right thing in critical situations, loving your enemies, visiting the sick, all the things that God requires us to do, caring for our brother and sister, love. You can't do those if you're not abiding in Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Look at that. How clear is that? Ask what you will. If you abide in me and abide in you, and you shall ask what you will. What you will. Ask it. Peace, harmony, love, finance, education, home, wife, children. Well, ask God. But there is something required of you, that you abide in Jesus Christ, that you be faithful, that you understand his word, that you read his word, you do what he said here in his word. There is something required of you. All right. Verse number 8. Herein my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and ye shall be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. He's saying about being a disciple of Christ, being a follower, a believer, a person that is with Christ. What is a disciple? A follower. A follower of Jesus Christ. As a disciple, you do what Jesus Christ asks you. You follow him. You do all the things required of you, which God tells you to do. All right? In this is my Father glorified. His Father, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. Jesus is the Son. They are one and the same. God the Father, his Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And when you do those things,
God the Father is glorified. He's glorified. Okay?
Verse number 9.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father loved Jesus, his Son, you love Jesus the same. You love Jesus the same. You continue ye in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. The connection continues. As Reverend Oliver said, the lane, stay in the lane. Stay in the lane of love. Stay in the lane of being like Christ. Stay in the lane of doing what's right. Stay in the lane. Now that also goes to you stay in your lane, I stay in my lane. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about staying in the lane of consistently being with Christ. Okay? If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Look at that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What a commandment. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. How about that? You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friend if ye do whatsoever I command you. Look at that. Jesus tells you that you are his friend. If. That's an if. There's something required of you, and that is do whatsoever I command you. Okay? Henceforth I call you in not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Let's look at the first part of it. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. Alright? A servant and a master, or a master and a servant. You as a servant, you don't know what they're doing. The master, the one that's at the head, you don't know. But I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known. When you tell the person what's going on and their relationship with you, you become closer. You become a friend. You know what he's doing. You know what he's going. What he's saying. What's he's all about. The head person don't tell you all of that. God don't. You don't know everything that God's going to do. You don't know everything that God's going to do. And some things you don't need to know. Some things will be revealed to you in time. You don't need to know everything. In fact, you can't handle what God knows. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. God chooses you. God chooses you. Understand that. But I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. You didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. Bring believers. Bring the brokenhearted. Bring the downtrodden. Bring the one that has no self-esteem. I mean, bring them. That's the fruit. There's a saying that so far as the fisherman is concerned in catching and cleaning fish and bringing people to Christ, you bring them I'll do the cleaning. God will straighten them up. That should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. And you say, in Jesus' name, and the end of your prayer, amen, in Jesus' name. The reason why is that Jesus Christ is the sacrificial lamb, the final sacrificial lamb. Before they did bulls and bullocks and other things like that that they sacrificed, but Jesus Christ is the final sacrificial lamb, God's Son, down through 43 generations, died on the cross, raised from the dead, all power in his hand, sitting at the right hand of the Father, standing at the right hand of the Father, with the Father in heaven, sits at the right hand of him, waiting, interceding for you and I. All you have to do is call on him. Our Father which art in heaven, that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. After participating in this lesson, each learner should be able to define how divine branches, metaphor, describe our relationship in Christ. How it describes your relationship in Christ. Are you connected? Are you connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ? Connect love and obedience as complementary elements in the Christian life. Love and obedience. Love for your fellow man. Obedience, doing what God's word says. Identify ways to abide in Christ more faithfully. Abide in Christ more faithfully. That calls for work. It calls for continuity. That calls for faith. That's called for patience. It calls for endurance. It calls for staying power. And all those things that you need to do that come through Christ. He gives you the strength to mount up like eagles. He gives you the strength to sustain, keep going in spite of difficulties. Wired for relationships. The vine and the branches, severed or withered. When you get cut off from Jesus Christ, you begin to wither and die. You need to stay connected to Jesus Christ, the Lord and his friends, loving, joyful obedience, and great sacrificial love. Chosen messenger, Jesus is a true friend. Don't ever forget that. Jesus Christ is your true friend. Most of us in the West are highly connected to others. Most of us in the West are highly connected. We check our phones constantly for new texts, new posts, and new updates. I'm often reminded when we leave the home to have that phone with you. If not, you turn around and go back and get that phone. Our thumbs are flying in response. We have internet news outlets we check daily, not satisfied to wait for the evening news or the morning newspaper. Though family or friends live far away, their faces come to us instantly in video calls. We live online in many ways. But these connections can be fragile or even illusory. They are not real. What about when the power go off? What about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had a loss of electric power? Huh? No internet, no television, all those things you are familiar with. Those things won't last. You need to stay connected to the real power. But these connections can be fragile or even, as I said, illusory. Think of the lonely woman who connects with a man who lives 500 miles away, only to discover that the man is actually a bunch of borrowed pictures being used by teenagers' entertainment. Or consider how easily an online connection can be severed with just the click of a button. Though they are wired for relationships, we may find that these relationships are not always what we think and definitely not what we need. This lesson today speaks of a different type of connection. The one Jesus and his followers, how does this work through? How can we be connected to him? How does this work, though? How can we be connected to him? John 15 is at the center of the parallel discourse, John 13 through 17, a series of speeches and a prayer given by Jesus during his Last Supper. Generally, this section has material unique to John among the Gospels. Lesson 9 context makes up about 17% of the text. Jesus builds his case for mutual love by using common observation from the vineyard. The vineyard was a staple of agriculture in the ancient world. In the Bible, Noah is the first recorded grape grower, Genesis 9 and 20. The human society has prized the fruit of the vine ever since. The fruit thereby produces becomes a source of substance year-round, and many of the harvested grapes being converted into raisins, wines for later consumption, raisins or wine, 2 Samuel 16:1. One of the entire descriptions of this promised land was this productive vineyards. All right, the vine and branches, the vine and branches. Abide in me and I in you as the branches are. The same Greek word translated abide, translate mean ways of depending on context, including forms of remaining example, continuous, dual example. The same word appears in John 8:30 where Jesus proclaimed, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciple indeed. The word wide semantic range suggests many ways of staying connected. We cannot abide in the physical body of Christ. We abide in Jesus when we follow his word, his teaching, and the results of our relationship with him. His words and his teaching, God's word. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abide in me, and I in him. The vine is the main above ground stalk of the plant. Each grape plant will have one vine and many branches split it off. The vine is the source of water and nutrients that come from the roots to nourish the branches and the fruit. The branches need to stay connected to the vine if they are to live. How clear can that be to you? You need to stay connected through Jesus Christ. You need to stay connected because the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ, is the source of your strength, your wisdom, your knowledge, your longevity, your endurance. All right. Let's look at, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as branches as withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are to be burned. If you do not stay with Jesus Christ, you will be disconnected. You will be useless, as we said before. Not all branches coming out of the vine are productive or even survive. Some branches are visibly damaged in various ways or even dead. Remember I think about the storm? Others simply have no fruit well into growing season, thus becoming like parasites that suck living, giving water and nutrients from the vine and the roots. Such branches are removed from the vine. This is called, in the garden, we call that pruning. We teach the kids about pruning dead leaves and brown and yellow leaves off of plants because it's taking substance from the main vine. Fuel for fires were always in demand, but these branches seem to be bonfires just to dispose of trash. This is an image of judgment compared in Luke 3:9 to be thrown into the fire. It's a negative judgment on their faithfulness and disobedience. How about that? It has implications beyond. Once you get disconnected from the vine, has implication beyond
That's all the way to the eternal, where you will spend the rest of your life. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Jesus begins a more direct description of what it means to abide in him, tying it to having his words abide in a person. This means to have our ways of thinking. That means to have our way of thinking and ways of acting guided by the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again for a third time to make it real clear. This means to have our ways of thinking and ways of acting guided by the teachings of Jesus. To live in Christ is to live with his commands and teaching as our chief influence, the guidance, your guiding light, your guiding source of strength, your guiding source of wisdom, your guiding source of endurance, your guiding source of patience. Understanding this helps us to know what Jesus meant when he promised that we can ask whatever we will and expect it will be done. A reference to prayer. A reference to prayer. The connection to Jesus Christ is done through prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Praying to find a chest of pirate treasure so we can be rich would not be within the scope of Jesus' promise. Even asking for good things may go against God's will, thus not be given. Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 35 through 36. In all cases, such asking and promises and answers is only for those who are deep in the mindset of Jesus. We are abiding as he asked. We will not ask something that is clearly contrary to the will of the Father. Remember that question that was asked at the beginning. That was asked to connect your love and obedience and comfort and elements in Christ's life. Identifies ways to abide in Christ more faithfully. You would be asking for things that you know that is not in the will of Christ. Is that clear about what that means? Is it clear? Identify ways to abide in Christ more effectively. You could abide in Christ better than that. If you could, you go asking for things that you know is not even in the will of Christ. You know not to do that. Jesus summed this up in three ways. First, it says, "Herein my Father glorified, and that ye bear fruit, so shall ye be my disciple." Jesus summed this up in three ways. First is faithful abiding and resulting obedience bring glory to the Father, to God. Our action reflects on our Lord, faithfully gracious action being God glorified. Second, faithful abiding will bear much fruit. This might be evidence of a godly life, what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. It is also the reproduction of one's life in the creation of new disciples. This leads to the third item in Jesus' summary. Doing this is the core of being a disciple of Christ. Disciple, though not a churchy word and similar to the English word student, Jesus is the teacher from whom we learn. He is the teacher. We never outgrow. We are Jesus' disciples for life. We are Jesus' disciples for life, following and doing what he said he'd done. The Lord and his friends, a loving, joyful obedience. As the Father have loved you, so have I loved you. Jesus moved beyond divine analogy to speak more directly about the relationship between his disciples and himself. And among the disciples themselves, he began with the most
fundamental dynamics in the universe. God loves Jesus, testified to the Father's love for him throughout the book of John. This love is demonstrated by the authority of the Father gave the Son, John the 3rd chapter and 35th verse. And the Father reveals his plans to the Son, 5:20. The Father also loves the Son for his willingness to give his life for sinners. I lay my life down freely. Look at that. Awesome. Based on those things, Jesus lays his life down. The love of the Father for the Son has no starting date. This relationship of love for the Son of the Father is eternal. It is therefore an unchanging quality that we can depend on. God's love never changes and never fails. God's love never changes and never fails. Not like the love that we experience here between husband, wife, sister, and brother, and that it does fail and change. This is agape love. It is consistent. It is mainstay. It never changes. God's love never changes and never fails. All of these things that describe the Father's incredible love for Jesus describe in turn Jesus' incredible love for his Father, for his disciples. Jesus yet experiencing the love fully requires believers to continue in Jesus' love. You got to stay. You got to stay in Jesus. You got to stay in Christ. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Jesus pushed the connection between commanding, keeping, and love abiding beyond his relationship with his disciples to the ultimate paradigm, his relationship with his Father. Jesus asked them to consider that he always kept his Father's command and never departed from his deep abiding relationship with his Father. We should remember that in our relationship with God, there is not a progression of command keeping to being loved. We are not loved because we are obedient. We are loved because we are God's creation. Let that sink in. We're not loved because we are obedient. We are loved because we are God's creation. We cannot earn God's love. The relationship begins with the eternal love of the Father for us, just as the Father loves for the Son has no beginning or end. We are obedient because we are loved and return that love through keeping the Father's commandments. This is how we abide in the Father's love. The things that I have spoken unto you, that you may joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Loving God and therefore being obedient to him is not drudgery. Drudgery. It brings joy, a full lifetime of joy. It may seem bizarre for Jesus to speak of great joy on the night of the Last Supper because of what lay ahead, agony and prayers, a sense of abandonment. Compare Psalms 22, unjust trials, brutal beatings, and death by crucifixion. Oh, loving God and therefore being obedient to him is not drudgery. It brings joy. To endure pain for Christ is joy. To endure the being put upon and called names and disrespected in Christ, in Jesus. How about that? We don't like to go through pain. He would truly be a man of sorrow in the hours ahead. Sorrow are temporary, though the rewards for endurance is eternal. A little later, Jesus promised his disciples that their great sorrow and emotional pain would turn into joy. the situation aided by the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's like a woman giving birth out of pain and agony and hurt. But once that child is here, oh, the joy of that beautiful baby, boy or girl. Huh? Ladies, no personal about that. Men only observe it, but women experience it. The pain of birth and the joy of the child. Only a woman can understand that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This command is found in many places in the New Testament. In John's Gospel, it is first introduced chapter 13, verse 34. Paul also taught his commandments for believers, Romans, Thessalonians, and 1 Peter. Neither of these approaches learned this new commandment by reading John. Instead, the commandment was learned from Jesus himself, just as John recorded. Therefore, this command is one of the core elements of being a Christian, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is at the core of being a Christian. A non-Christian may indeed be a loving person, but it is difficult to understand how a Christian could be an unloving person. Oh, there are many deep and complex issues to the Christian faith, but this is not one of them. When asked whom we must love, Jesus told the story of actively loving one's enemies. How about you? Do you love your enemies? If we love our enemies, who are entitled not to love, look at that. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. What a commandment. Brother Jesus taught that this was the ultimate sign of a discipleship. What did Jesus Christ do? Gave his life for you and me. Gave his life. Gave his life for us. There's a sense of poignancy when we consider that John, the author of this book, would be the only disciple present to die of natural causes. According to the church history and tradition, all the others in the room would give their lives for Jesus and the church. John, remember that? Jesus loved the disciples to the end, but they would love him to their ends too. There is no greater love than this, to give your life to Christ and for Christ giving his life for you. How many is willing to give their life for Christ, to endure the things that the world will bring to you, and the world will bring you death? You are my friend, and you do whatsoever I command you. Again, Jesus Christ, back to the expression of our love for him, doing his command, when we accept that the Father was great love for us, we will express our love for him by obedience, not rebellion or apathy. Not apathy, but obedience. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. A servant only obeys out of fear. A servant could be harshly punished with near impunity for their owner in the legal sense of Jesus' day. Servants were not confidants of their master. You don't know what he's doing. You don't know where he's going. You don't know what he's saying. Their job was to obey without knowledge or comment. How about that? Such blind obedience is not what Jesus expects. His disciples are not servants, but friends. That's why he tells them everything. He talks to them. It's the difference relationship between a friend and a servant. You can see. The servant is just strictly obeying. These are not acquaintances or business associates, friends. It is one for whom a person feels deeply affection and demonstrates loyalty. Few servants would ever be considered beloved friends of their master. Look at that. Jesus discloses the friendship is the relationship he has been working toward throughout his 3-year ministry with the disciples. That knowledge has grown because Jesus many relationships of the nature of the Father and of the plans he and his Father have for the future. The disciples are insiders, friends considered worthy of receiving all things Jesus had heard from his Father. A friend. Jesus is a true friend. Jesus is a true friend. I don't need to expound on that at all. It's not like being on my bell. Somebody you meet and you casually talk to every once in a while. Jesus is a real friend. A true friend. He saw Christians not honoring God with their actions. In many ways, they disrespected their friends. He pushed the idea that people need to respect God as God and not treat him as they treated their friends. Jesus is a true friend. A classmate protested anything he heard, protested any time he heard it. He thought it was blasphemy to refer to God, the Holy Creator of the universe, as a friend. He was wrong. My colleagues are particularly right, but he missed what Jesus had said and was willing to sacrifice his own life for his friend. Friends who would not be loyal and deeply invested. Jesus, God in the flesh, exemplified what a true friend is. If Christ was willing to lay down his life for the world, then we owe him our lives too. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Jesus also revealed that his relationship with his disciples was all part of his plan. To be ordained, in this sense, does not refer to a ceremony, but to having been chosen for a position of responsibility. They were Jesus' friends with purposes, and that purpose is to produce fruit. This is to be fruit that will remain, a reference to not to grapes, but to new disciples, the new friends with purpose. This is why they were chosen. Jesus' multi-generational plan for expanding the number and the maturity of his followers. Do you get that maturity? Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Each one of us grow in the knowledge of Christ and mature in Christ in different levels, in different times, in different ways. Disciples were reminded that God will give them resources in this work. After Jesus had done, the Father would continue to be with them. After Jesus has done and gone, the Father would continue to be with them, giving what they asked for. These plans and promises are for us also still the disciples of Jesus. 2 million later, we are expected to bring forth fruit. We are expected to bring forth fruit. The vine of Jesus continues to produce the fruits of new disciples and spiritual growth even today, and will do so in the future. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Oh, what a scripture there. Jesus ends his section by restating the great command. Within a few hours, the disciples would witness the greatest act of love in history. Jesus willingly sacrificed sacrificial death for the sins of the world. There is no greater love. There is no expiration date on this directive. It overrides all things that confront us in the Christian life. Jesus' disciples will have disagreements. Conflicts will be inevitable, but there is never any excuse for not loving our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. There is no excuse. 1 John 4, chapter verses 7 through 12. Now the conclusion of this matter. Unselfish love. Agape, continually, through all circumstances. The love of Christ. The love of Christ for you, and you have the love of Christ for Jesus. Like Jesus loved the Father, and the Father loved the Son, Jesus. Abiding, obeying, and loving. Abiding, obeying, and loving. These are the central elements of the relationship of the discipleship. The love of Jesus exemplifies all of these. He abides with the Father in a relationship so intimate it is beyond our understanding. He always obeys the Father, and his great love for the Father overflows to his chosen disciples. In this we understand what biblical love is all about. It is conditioned by a lasting, faithful relationship and expressed by obedience. It is unselfish love, giving without consideration or expecting anything in return. In the Gospel of John, the Last Supper finds Jesus teaching about these things. The arrest, trial, and crucifixion find him acting out these things. The resurrection shows the Father approving of these things for Jesus, his teaching, and his action. Thereby, the disciples of Jesus have been motivated ever since to follow him unselfishly with the purpose of being obedient disciples themselves and of producing a new disciple in every generation. Our prayer. Father, may we show our love for you by obeying your commands, nurturing us so we bear the fruit you want to see in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A thought to remember. When we love, we obey. When we love, we obey. Lesson for November 15th is Confident Love. Devotion reading going to come from Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And the background scripture is going to come from 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 11 through 24. 2 John, the 4th chapter, 11. And 3 John, chapter 5 and 8. We hope what we have been saying today about love and divine, abiding in divine, is his fruit, your fruit. The Lord and his friends. Jesus is the true friend. Love for one another. Godly love among believers. Unselfish love. Unselfish love. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, where Reverend Will Law is our pastor, we thank you for listening to the Sunday School for November 8th, 2020. We thank you. Abiding love.